All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, you're going speed dating.
Oh, anxiety inducing. Okay. Well, so it's all first impressions all the time. All right. Okay. All right.
It's all first impressions. You get to say what you do for a living over and over and over, which I know as somebody who does what you do for a living, that's great.
Yeah, no.
It's just the best.
It's perfect. What do you tell people?
I say podcaster at this point.
Yeah.
Even though that does make it sound like I don't have a job.
Yes.
That really does just sound like I'm just saying I'm unemployed, but it's a fig leaf.
I usually say writer, or I'm doing a lot with computers these days. So
computers is a good answer. The nice thing about this speed dating is hopefully it won't be too nerve-wracking, because as you know, people are being put into weapons constantly these days.
Oh man. I mean, it started with wife arms, but now it's everything. Yep. Yeah.
Now it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you're speed dating with a series of weapons and implements of destruction.
Okay. Okay.
And then, you do your couple minutes, you tell them what you do. You say you're doing a lot of stuff in computers.
Okay.
And, you ask them some questions, and then at the end, I'm going to look and see who matched up, and we'll see which one you matched up with.
Okay.
Who you chose to like and which one, liked you.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
Gwen put in like the match game theme song or whatever here. Sure. And I'm going to go, down the line here, and I'm going to start with, this flail. This flail looks shapely.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty cool flail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I've got all the, you've gone on a whirlwind of dates.
Yeah, so many implements, the whole arms and equipment guide. Yeah.
Honestly, it doesn't feel like you met anybody, but you did write down a little thing whether you think someone is attractive.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, basically what these are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like so, when you do, whenever you try to like, go through and do ratings in your iTunes library, like, oh, you're a five star.
Yes, exactly.
You're a four star.
Yeah. Zero for five. Yeah. Okay. Let me take a look. Oh, it looks like you matched with a couple different ones.
Okay. Oh, I hope it's the halberd. I hope it's the halberd. Okay. Well, a crossbow.
No halberd. Ah, sadly, damn. A crossbow, broadsword, a rod, and an axe. Hold up. These are all the weapons from Eve of Extinction.
Am I supposed to know that?
No.
So the game, the game computer's struggling on this one.
Computer's shrugging, and it's made of plastic. It's cracking. It's casing to do it.
How'd it get so wobbly? I guess that's a game. I guess that's a game.
It's got game-like qualities.
No.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And welcome to Arbject Suffering, the show where we eat and review every item on the Arby's menu. On today's episode, the half pound beef and cheddar.
That is a lot of beef and cheddar.
We don't know the proportions. it could be like an ounce of beef and then just a half pound of cheddar.
This week we are talking about EOE, Eve of Extinction, D-Wars, Dragon Wars.
Yes.
And this is a demand from a patron. Thank you, patrons. If you're at the $25 level, there's the process for that. There is a post that you go look and see, reach out if you have not seen that, and I can send the link to you. Regardless, Michael submitted this saying, for me, this was another misguided rental scrounge from Blockbuster. Teen Mike saw a cool looking cover and thought that was good enough. It was not.
It's we are living right now, in, February 7th, 2024, in the pre Eve of Extinction reevaluation period.
Yeah, this one's just kind of hanging around there in the ether.
You'd think that it would be that, but at some point someone's going to go to bat for this really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's got that stink to it,
mm-hmm,
of being like kind of like, goofy plot and reasonable,
mm-hmm,
mechanics.
Yeah.
That somebody's going to call this a lost classic any moment.
Yeah.
Like, we're just living in the pre-environment of that.
Yeah. And God help us if this is what shakes that loose. If anybody comes and says, like, how dare you? How dare you?
Well, we'll probably get a how dare you. I just mean like some, you know, like a Kotaku staffer is going to write a thing about how it's time to bring this back.
Right.
That's a thing.
Yeah. So it's kind of in that fertile area in the early 2000s, you know, so, you know, it seems like this would have been brought back along with, I don't know, was there a reevaluation of Siphon Filter?
Siphon Filter. This is more like a product number three or something.
Yeah.
This is more, I say with affection, mm-hmm. like Japanese jank.
Yes.
Is you know, the phrase I've seen for this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like this is more like samurai Western.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a thing.
But this is also, I don't know if this is a Japanese developer. Yes, it is. Okay.
Yeah. UK's. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, very much so.
Yeah. Yeah. Might have been Yuke's, short for ukuleles. But this is. Yeah. It's
Yuke's, who has, more wrestling games than there are stars in the sky.
And that makes,
that they developed.
That makes a little like, bit more of this, it makes it a little bit more sense actually with the way that the lock on and combo system of this works. It feels very much like the old N64 wrestling games. Yeah.
It's like that kind of mixed with a light character action kind of thing. Like you switch your weapon types like midway through combos, that kind of thing. But I was distracted by it.
Blazing a trail for Blasphemous 2. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Blasphemous 2 and Bloodborne 1. But then I was just put off by the absolute like bewildering amount of interrupting tutorializing you get in the beginning of this. Like I didn't play this for the full half hour.
No,
I ran up on time. I played for about 15 minutes, and during that time my sword wife told me conservatively like 70 things.
Yeah.
And there were nested flashbacks. Like you start in a flashback and then halfway through a fight, she's like, this reminds me of something. Uh-huh. And then you teleport to a hallway. Like, what the fuck is happening in Extinction?
Yeah.
It's really confusing.
It's real scattered. Yeah. You don't do a flash forward and a flashback.
Like, it is Blasphemous 2 is a real good point of comparison because you do have to mix up your weapon types. Mm-hmm. For their mobility things. Like I got to this part where I had to use the staff to spring up and then switch off the staff so I could grab the ledge.
Uh-huh.
And it was just really awkward.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is annoying.
Yeah.
I like doing this.
I got a little bit past that where he had to use the staff to vault and then press the action button, which it didn't clarify what it was, to grab a railing overhead and do like a monkey bars down along.
Yeah, I got to the monkey bars as well.
Yeah.
But I started feeling the burn. Started feeling how Mal Bolger could burn me when the weapon switching for grabbing the ledge was happening.
Like the premise of this, so like you were a guy voiced by Cam Clark who
very much so
works for the Wisdom.
Give me a break.
You work for the Wisdom Company, and it's a big evil corporation, and instead of doing like, you know, future tech where they fuse people with the mechs, Eva kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're using Atlantean ores to turn girlfriends into goddamn swords.
Into swords. They're turning girlfriends into swords. You know? Yeah. And then this is all part of something, you know, called legacy. We're in like the noun zone.
Yes.
In this whole thing, like Wisdom is going to create legacy. We have to stop it. Which like sounds like a thing like in Mike Cernovich's Twitter bio or something like that.
Christian fascist Wisdom must stop legacy. What?
Yeah. What are you talking about? What is the equation you're working on?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's got that kind of like, you know, very, very campy voice acting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of things like this, like the two weird like Cyclops cyborgs you're sitting with on the transport chopper who are like, this is all part of the plan. We set up you meeting your girlfriend's sword, you know, you'd be like, and then one of them at one point in the intro, he like stomps on your head and you go, give me a break. I'm like, holy shit, man.
You know,
Scott fucking American History X. Give me a break.
Ow, like, my jaw. Give me a break.
Yeah. Ah.
Jesus. Yeah. It's, you know, I would be lying if I said I didn't have affection for that kind of jank, you know, for like that kind of presentational jank. The
Lost Survival Horde has it.
This is only like a little bit more straight laced and well put together than like House of the Dead. I have huge affection for that.
Wait, it's not as fun.
So bland. Yeah.
Yeah. The actual playing of this is really boring and irritating to me. If this were just House of the Dead, like you just moved into a light gun or like a light girlfriend.
You mean a wife gun? Yeah.
Yeah. Wife gun shooter, like wife sword shooter. I would be like, okay, you know, I could understand how this is, you know, goofy fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it just turns into product number three or some shit.
But with less dancing lady, at least probably a project or whatever number the PPNO3 or whatever. Like that was like kind of a rhythm game tappa tappa thing.
What am I thinking of? That was an also ran with a girl like beat 'em up PS2 launch game.
Not the bouncer. What are you?
It was you played a lady.
You played a lady. Okay.
You played a lady.
Huh.
It was, early on, you played a lady.
Early on, you played a lady.
I don't remember what it was.
Because PNO 3 was what part of that weird Capcom initiative to do all of their, basically to do exclusives on Nintendo that eventually became not exclusive. So, like, that initiative got us Resident Evil 4, Killer 7, and then PNO 3.
Yeah, PNO 3, by far the one of the biggest legacy.
Yes, yeah. We are just walking in the footprint.
It's PNO3's world.
Yeah.
We're living in
we're
it.
Just renting from it. Yeah.
This is something everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something people are talking about all the time. Boy, Google got a lot worse.
Oh boy, it's terrible.
I'm trying to find this thing, and it just seems like, you know, early PS2 games, like first year PS2 games, should bring up a list.
It should, yeah.
Stupid me.
you expected this $1 billion company to make a product that works. Okay.
Yeah, I guess not. Fuck,
no.
Man.
No, it, right. I mean, it works. It gets them money.
Yeah.
It surfaces AI content. So.
Yeah. Thank God. You need to have this AI list of the best.
Yeah. You know. I was running out of places to get sludge.
Yeah. The sludge.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one you're talking about. Wouldn't have been a launch window game. Oh yeah, mind. Yeah. No, you're gonna. Yeah. I'll get a message from you on Slack at like 2 a.m.
Yeah, what the? I'm gonna wake up dead. I'm gonna have a dream that comes to this, and this game's gonna come and shoot me in the fucking head.
Just sit bolt up, right?
Yeah. Tell me more about the game, George, and then kabam.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, I wish this was just a little bit more wacky. I really, really do, because as fun as the concept of a wife sword is, this just doesn't have, doesn't got the juice.
Doesn't have the juice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of a wife sword.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like as a wife haver now, I have often thought, what if Liv was a sword?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because right now, like if I were to wield my wife, I get the chair.
Yeah.
And as opposed to, you know, getting a cool, you know, fatality in or something like that.
You can only get away with that in 1980s Japan on the streets of River City.
Yeah. Now I'm not allowed.
No. And this fascist country can't pick up a thrower person. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I say wife sword because that is easier to say than girlfriend sword. You know,
girlfriend sword is awkward.
Girlfriend. What? Oni?
Oni.
Oh, Oni. Okay.
Oni.
Oni.
The PS2 game.
Was that the Bungie one? Was that Bungie making a game before they did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bungie West made Oni. I was thinking of Oni.
It was Oni. It was Oni Chapter 1.
Yes. Twas Oni that did the deed.
Twas Oni.
It wasn't me. Twas Oni that broke this hellbound heart.
Twas Oni that momentarily flummoxed us.
Yeah. Oh, thank God.
I need to make
sure. If I didn't find that in this episode, I was going to hear about it.
Oh, no. People would immediately rush to yell at us before they finish listening to the episode.
Well, and also, what did we do wrong? I couldn't remember the name of something. Oni, isn't that product number three? Kind of this kind of vibe.
Anyway,
girlfriend sword.
Girlfriend sword. It took me out of it in the opening crawl of this. Is there anything less serious than this adult person working at a megacorp and his girlfriend? I don't know. It's just weird. That's just a weird thing to say.
Yeah. Also, Googling girlfriend sword does give you Bay Area man sentence for beheading ex-girlfriend with.
What you're going to get. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's mostly about this Bay Area guy who used a samurai sword to behead his ex-girlfriend.
A lot of beheadings on the news.
It's giving back.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Good for it.
You know, it's one way to be sure.
Yeah, you know, they want it more.
Jesus.
I guess they just wanted it more. Yeah. Beheading.
Oh man. Yeah. But it's not even a fun like wife sword. It's just her soul. It might as well just be a jar of Kool-Aid.
It's a tutorial sword.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sword that summons a tutorial girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
To hang out on a tractor trailer and tell you to remember things. it's really pretty bad.
Just Family Guy flashback device. Remember when the girl was a sword?
From when Peter, remember when your girlfriend was a sword? Wife, I think it went like this. I don't, those are my two families.
Holy crap, Lois.
Holy crap, Lois, you're a sword. Peter, I'm a sword. Peter, I'd like to fuck your sword. I'd like to kill sword.
Hey there,
we're
sorry,
the kids. We're indifferent to sword.
Yeah.
and I'm the pervert neighbor. The things I like to do with sword need not be specified.
Giggity, my whole characterization is going to be changed in 20 years.
Thank God. Did they actually change it?
Yeah, he's a horn dog. He's much less of an overt rapist.
He's a little less rapey. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, thank good. So, was there an episode where they dealt with his past?
Oh, I don't know.
Like God of War 2016.
I don't know. I mostly my Family Guy check-ins are just a smattering these days. I am not up to date and current on it like I am American Dad. So,
gotcha.
Which sounds like a joke, but it's not.
Yeah, enough people told me that's good. I've never had it hook me, mm-hmm. but I believe people when they say it's good.
Yeah.
Out of the Seth MacFarlane properties.
Yeah, that whole
Seth MacFarlane creator of American Dad.
Yeah, and it's fucking me up because people are sharing videos like clips of that Ted prequel show, and the jokes are funny in it.
Okay.
Like the there's this one where like they're walking up to the school and it's this teenager and his CGI teddy bear and the bear's like, oh, don't you ever worry about being the only white kid at school? And it pans across this Boston high school and everybody's white. And the kid says, yeah, we had an Indian guy last year, but they got him. It's like, what do you mean they got him?
Yeah. No, I watched that on mute in a bar.
Okay.
Me and Liv went to the coast for our anniversary,
mm-hmm.
And we got snowed in. There was a big ice storm.
Yeah.
It was foolish of us
mm-hmm.
to try to risk it, but we were thinking the weather would be milder on the coast, which it was, but it wasn't mild enough.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to get dinner at one point. Like the power was out in large portions of the town.
Yeah.
Like we had to eat. So we had to cruise around. We ended this bar that was closing and like the best we can do is a pizza to go
mm-hmm.
and I was like all right so we sat there and drank a beer and watched a little bit of Ted on mute
mm-hmm.
in a bar
and
the main thing I was thinking was you know I've never seen that movie
neither have I
and I was like why do people suffer Ted you know like why do people suffer Ted
no it's a real me buddy shotgun tell you what or shovel yeah, tell yeah. you what yeah
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand why the family's all just like, okay, Ted, you're part of the family, I guess
now.
When Ted was just like walking around farting and being racist, you know,
in a general sense. Just as a very casual way to talk about Boston in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they got him. Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Every once in a while, someone will have funny jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Even if it's even the worst worst show. Like I don't like the Family Guy, but it's not Death March.
No, no.
Yeah. You can watch it and laugh a couple times. If you're hard up for laughing twice,
mm-hmm.
you can do worse.
It'll make 22 minutes in a hotel room disappear like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It does the thing.
Yeah.
You know.
I had an awkward interaction today.
Okay.
I went to the library, had to go to the library a couple of counties over to get a card so I could use their 3D printer.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's not because you're banned from your library.
We don't talk about that these days.
You can't get banned from a library. Like, you can look at like whatever gapers you want, like all day long in the children's computer section. Yeah. They can't stop you.
Nope.
It's weird.
Yeah. They're for being a part of the government, they are weirdly powerless.
Yeah. They just like gape away.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm over here trying to play Prince of Persia. Please.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop gaping at me. It looks like it's looking at me. You ever seen Christmas Story? It's smiling at me. The gaping is smiling at me.
Yeah, no. So I'm going through the process of signing up, and the person says, "Oh, how are your cats doing?" And I look at them like, "What?" Oh. I was cycling in my head through like, "What do you mean?" I looked at my shirt. Like, yeah. is there cat hair on me? A little bit, yeah. But not enough.
Were they a listener?
No, they're not a listener. It was an old friend from high school somebody who went to high school with me, who I'm Facebook friends with. I didn't recognize her, and okay. To just like out of the blue, yeah. Not understanding the nature of the interaction that you're having, I felt like a dick, yeah. Because this person recognized me and I didn't recognize them. Blah blah blah. But like, just to have like, so how are your cats doing? It's yeah. Real. Like, okay, like, am I in a dream right now? Like, what's happening? Just that
it's a dream or like a very subtle threat. Like if you were gonna get chased out of the library, you know, or if they didn't want you to 3D print, you're gonna 3D print the legacy from Wisdom. And they wanted to stop you. Like, it's the kind of question they would ask.
They get really sensitive about using Orichalcum in that machine.
Yeah, you can't do it. It's Mithril only.
Yeah. So that really threw me off.
Yeah, that'll mess up your day. Yeah. That's it just feels weird.
Mm-hmm. And you would think that would happen more, given that I live so close to where I grew up, but that doesn't really.
Yeah.
You know, I will run into like the parents of somebody whose house that I drank at in high school, at like a grocery store or whatever. So it doesn't happen enough for me to just immediately say like, oh, this person. OK, yeah, no, this is an interaction. But to just out of nowhere, it had real flavor of for 30 seconds, I thought there was monsters on the earth.
Yeah.
Kind of feeling. Yeah.
It's also like, I imagine, at least this is true of my hometown. Of small hometowns, like the number of townies like is not huge.
No,
right?
No.
Like people who stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it probably doesn't happen all that often just because, you know, people moved away.
Yeah. No, true.
No judgment, you know, but like people moved away.
Yeah. Yeah.
The,
I moved away and I came back. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, and just weird. I don't know.
Yeah. The, yeah. Huh. I don't, but that kind of thing happens to me from time to time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody will just a weird interaction like that. And I've gotten so bad at it,
mm-hmm.
now, where like, I feel like I set a preset of like, I am accepting talking to a stranger. I am not accepting talking to a stranger.
Yeah.
And kind of set that in my brain before I leave the house.
Yes.
You know, and if something interrupts that, it fucks it up.
Yes.
I go into a mode.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. No, like yeah. I wasn't even looking people in the eye. When I was out and doing this, was literally just an errand that I was running, and I didn't expect it to raise in valence to like, oh, hey, you remember?
Like the masquerade.
Yeah. And then when you're caught, just turning into, oh, hi, I remember you.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Just
this spilling bubble of like, you know, platitudes, this bubbling fountain of nonsense you have to turn into. Oh, hey. Yeah, just, hey, all right. How's it going?
Just immediately get like a big Joker grin.
Yeah.
It's like, can't
Smilex.
Can't my head back 45 degrees. Hey, you. Hi.
I've turned into a Pez dispenser of politeness.
just staring down my cheeks at you like, oh, yeah, just, wow, it's been forever.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. So file that under the Cole interactions, like the people recognizing me at the KFC and then me never going there again.
Well, now luckily you can still get this thing 3D printed.
True.
And that's all you need.
That's
for this.
It's really
not like KFC where they're gonna keep you coming back.
Yeah,
for delicious chicken.
Those fucking strips, man.
Yeah. They do good strips. KFC is the restaurant that I have the most, I think everyone has like anecdotal information from, they had friends who worked at a restaurant and heard the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
There was a KFC in my hometown on 4th Street, and real heads know, if you grew up in DeKalb, Illinois, you know that the 4th Street KFC was disgusting. I had a bunch of friends who worked there, and many of which were just like, no, like, we don't actually clean anything, and they don't make us. And it was just like, we don't want to, so they don't make us do it. It's like grandparents' visitation rules. But if we're a paycheck. Ooh. You know, KFC is the weekend stepdad who, like, lets you play Nintendo and eat toothpaste for dinner.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, a restaurant with code.
Nope. There are no rules here. There are no adults.
It's basically, it's that island from Pinocchio, except it serves chicken. You know?
Yeah. There's just so much plot. There's so much suspension of disbelief that you have to do 100%. With any of that. Yeah.
And you could be eating at, the issue is you'll never know.
No.
Like, you could be eating at the cleanest KFC in the world. Mm-hmm. That KFC could be cleaner than my kitchen.
Yeah.
And we'd never know. Mm-hmm. It's a black box. You know, and also we all eat at places that could be like the 4th Street KFC.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, my family is obsessed with reading the like health reports from places and just like, oh, we don't go there because of blah, 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 this X, Y, or Z. And it's like, you realize every place probably has that. And that's just the one who got caught. Well, we don't go to that place anymore. Like, okay.
Yeah. You got to make some kind of, I understand having to make a decision based on something.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and to me, a health report makes more sense than Yelp reviews.
True. Yes.
Or something like that. When I realized like, oh, Yelp reviews were like more or less bullshit,
mm-hmm.
because there's a whole lot of just really, really picky, you know, Karen-o-types.
Yeah.
Who will complain about anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like you had to read the reviews.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, to actually understand if somebody's making a reasonable complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The same thing as everything, though. There's just too many everything, so you have to sort somehow.
Yeah.
You know, what else are you going to do?
Might as well pick that. There's a little bit of authority there. Yeah.
Yeah. There's, it's literally better than nothing.
Yes.
While also being unreliable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well,
what's in the news today? If you're listening to this, you can join us on Blue Sky. We're Blue Sky Elders.
We are.
We're talking about that off, Mike.
We were.
If you want to become friends with Blue Sky Elders.
Yeah.
We were both there before it opened up.
Big wheels down at the not Twitter factory.
Yeah. We get to say what we do here.
Yep.
And more importantly, if you post something we don't like, we'd go, we don't do that here.
No, we're going to scold you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We do a lot of scolding.
Everything sucks. It's really bad.
Everything's more expensive, but at least it's all worse. I just
keep saying, man, it's getting real bad out there. Just hoping somebody's going to recognize it as a Mouth of Madness reference, because it's always getting truer. Man, it's getting real bad out there.
It's not great. Things are not great. I'm not emotionally prepared for election year.
Nope.
2024. By any means.
No.
I'm not prepared for like the doom casting of it. Mm-hmm. I really wish I could just wait, mate, until it's over.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, obviously, you know, there are outcomes I want more than other ones. Yes. Very, very much, mm-hmm. of course. At the same time, like, I'm dreading the process more than I am the result.
Oh, no, it's going to be, we weren't meant to know what is happening like this. No. That is very, you know, cliche to say.
Yeah.
Right. But like, I got no business knowing that. I got no business knowing like this thing that doesn't matter.
It is kind of like a my chart thing. We talked about how my chart lets you, you know, gives you the uninterpreted medical results.
So I hate it.
Yeah. You're just stuck Googling stuff. That's kind of what electoral politics is on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're getting the my chart for this election every day.
Yeah. And it's like,
you know,
this ruling came down. Trump isn't immune. And I was like, well, tell me, what does it mean? You want to do the Donnie Darko meme? Like, okay, is it going to be appealed? Yeah, it's going to be appealed. Yeah. Okay.
Or you want to do the Frogert.
Oh.
You know, like, oh, that's good. And they'd be like, oh, but he's, you know, and fortunately it's going to the Supreme Court. Well, that's bad. But there's precedent. That's good.
Yeah.
But there's, you know.
But Trump appointed three of them. That's bad.
You know, and but you're stuck in a loop. It's like the end of Doctor Strange 1, like where you just like, they have all the time in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have to outlast me.
Yep.
And I'm only 43. You know, like, I feel like I'm fighting Dracula with this stuff. Like, I will measure out my vengeance in centuries. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, just fucking buffeted by the winds of fortune.
It's really a bummer. So we're not ending on too much of a bummer note before we go on to record other stuff.
Okay.
When I went to the coast.
Yes.
For that anniversary thing, I found a pretty surprising and cool find in a bookshop.
Oh, what'd you get?
Let me reach over and grab it. I'll tell you about it. I think it's your shit.
Okay.
So this is a book called The Hellraiser Chronicles, which is to coincide with the release of Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth, comes the first ever companion to all three films inspired by the creation. This has a big section where you get to meet the Cenobites, including everyone's favorite CD from Hellraiser 3, who is a Cenobite who shoots compact discs out of his face.
I love it. Yeah. How big is this?
What if I were to tell you there's one of them called JP Cenobite?
Does Google he own it, a dude. Bank?
I know. Is he a lawyer? JP Cenobite, like attorney at law. It's fucking real.
Is that Pistonhead? Is that who that is?
No, he says JP Cenobite. Oh no, he does have a little valve on his head.
Yeah, yeah. So that is his that's his past name. That's who he was before. Oh. JP.
He used to be named JP Cenobite?
Nominative determinism.
This one's named Terry Cenobite.
Popping off.
Like a lot of them have Cenobite as a last name for some reason.
Pistonhead was, in his former life, J.P. Monroe. It is strongly implied through a chat with Pinhead that J.P. murdered his parents to claim their fortune. Okay.
Cool.
What is... Yeah, so I guess... So Pistonhead is a pseudo-Cenobite that appeared in Hellraiser 3.
Oh, okay. Huh. Yeah, I gotta watch Hellraiser 3. They've got CD.
I think I ought. Is Hellraiser 3 the one with the spaceship, or is that Hellraiser 4?
This is Hell on Earth.
Okay.
So I don't think, I think it's not the one with the spaceship.
Yeah.
If it was one with the spaceship, that would be a weird title for it.
Yeah. He drops blood on, yeah, no, there's a whole bio here. Probably.
There's a guy called the Pillar of Souls. This is the one that deals with the background, I want to say.
Yes.
Of Pinhead.
Mm. Yeah. The Hellraiser Chronicles. How big is this? Is this like a teen heartthrob magazine? Like, are we getting,
it's a little bigger than that. It's like the size of a small source book.
Okay.
You know, it's not super big. It has a lot of cool stuff in it. Lots of pictures of makeup, lots of cool behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, concept art and everything. Like, it's really cool. It's not huge though. I would love one for the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But getting this one that goes up through Hellraiser 3. I saw a Hellraiser book, picked it up and flipped through it, and the whole middle section is just, you know, a picture of a Cenobite and then quotes about the Cenobite.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
This is, you know, this is a Cenobite source book, or as close to that as I can get.
Yeah.
I'd love to learn about Chatterer too.
Well, they had to modify it so that person wasn't fucking suffocating under the mask.
Suffocator one.
Yeah.
Turned into Chatterer two.
This book, you can get it used on the bad site for like $27. I might do that.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's not it was a bookstore find. So like absolute bank error in my favor.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, it's not like something I'm going to say is like a must have. Uh-huh. It's not, you know, the Cenobite encyclopedia I want it to be.
Yes.
But it's fun.
Yeah. I'll put it on a wish list and see and watch the price as it goes. Man, I love a Cenobite. Yeah. What a gift. What a gift Clive Barker gave to us. Yeah.
The Magic the Gathering started introducing Cenobites.
Oh.
You get to summon Cenobites in it from time to time, which I'm excited about.
Huh. Yeah.
Like as a creature type, Grand Cenobite. And I'm like, and they look cool. Like they're not our Cenobites. But, you know, they are cool. Yeah,
it's enough. It's enough to get you by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not your daddy's Cenobites.
No. Huh. Well, yep. This just has me wanting to watch some Hellraiser now.
Shit. Me too. Like there's what's the worst thing that could happen? Right? Like it might not be super good.
Mm-hmm.
But who gives a shit? Because CD will be there and he'll spit a disc out of his face at some point because he's a combination CD player.
Man.
Cenobite, the same way that the PS2 was sold.
hey, listen.
They call me PS2.
If your parents are like, hey, we don't need a Cenobite. You've already got a PlayStation. You say, but this Cenobite plays CDs. Yeah.
This Cenobite has barbed wire on it, you know, and then like, that's how you get some bonus Cenobites for Christmas/birthday.
Yeah. This Cenobite has a DVD inside of the, who was that? Pamela Anderson cartoon barbed wire.
Yeah. Thank God. Yeah, I don't know. I at some point we'll have to watch the scene, watch the Hellraisers.
Yeah.
Especially the one in space where there's a space station that's shaped like the Lament configuration. Mm-hmm. There's no way that movie isn't at least a little fun. Yeah. I know it has bad reviews and people say it's not fun.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe them. You know,
it's so impossible. Like, that's just something I got. Like when the stakes are so low, you've got to. I can take a chance. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Just the idea of, you know, a space station that is the puzzle cube.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Well, yeah. that one specifically, like that is simultaneously like it's interthreaded, like the medieval times with the with the invention of the Lorentz configuration or whatever it's originally called, and then in the future with its ultimate form, which is the space station. So
yeah, it digivolves.
Yeah, into
it. They should do an Animorphs cover that's just the Lorentz configuration turning into a space station.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah.
Anywho,
I'm not going to waste an unfilmable on it. Not waste. Yeah, there's other stuff that's more of a sure shot that I want to do, but
yeah, at some point, perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, thanks everybody for listening. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you.
We do. If you like the show, you can, back us on Patreon, patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Get 2 bonus episodes each month, along with, whole bonus shows like Real Lich Hours, Bonfireside Chat, the premium Watch Out for Fireballs. It's packed with value.
Absolutely. You can also leave us range reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, and join us in thanking our producer, Gwen, who edited this episode.
Thank you, Gwen. Yeah.
Yeah, we appreciate you. What should they do until next time?
Until next time. Sorry, guys. The outro AI chatbot I made from skimming old shows unplugged itself after the first 200 episodes.